It's not about proving you can do it once.
The long wait has ended. After a half century, the Milwaukee Bucks are NBA champions once again.
It's about showing you can do it again.
Three ball, why not? Cash Money Middleton. Giannis down the lane and a man slam.
It's Holiday. Floats it off the window and good.
Let's talk Bucks.
We're going to listen to whatever, you know, Bud wants us to do, and we're going to go out there and compete.
Game recaps, analysis, and previewing every second of playoff basketball for the reigning champs. This is Bucks at 6 with Alex Stroph on ESPN Wisconsin and streaming on Wisconsin On Demand.
The Bucks are so back. Holy smokes, was that a fun weekend of Bucks basketball. This is Bucks at 6:01 across ESPN Wisconsin, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, the ESPN app, ESPNWisconsin.com, Wisconsin On Demand, and probably a whole bunch of other places. Thanks so much for hanging out with us tonight. Really excited to get into everything we saw over the weekend. I am Alex Stroph with you until 7 o'clock. The First Midwest Bank talk and text line is 800-990-3776. Again, 800-990-3776. I'm going to ask you this off the bat. How good are we feeling right now? The Celtics lined up for the next series, likely. Because I'm not afraid to look ahead, right? I heard our buddy Justin Garcia on the Bucks radio network the other night after the Bucks went up 3-1 over the Chicago Bulls. And he said, you got to be careful looking ahead. Here on Tuesday, I'm not feeling very afraid of looking ahead, knowing Zach LaVine is now in the health and safety protocols. Hope he's all right, but likely not going to be a part of tomorrow's Game 5. Alex Caruso in concussion protocol. Hope he's all right. Likely not going to be a part of Game 5. So the Bucks' chances, well, they're looking pretty good here in Game 5 tomorrow and overall in this series against the Chicago Bulls. But this weekend, in Game 3 on Friday, Game 4 on Sunday, we finally saw the Milwaukee Bucks we've been waiting to see in this series. Defensively, offensively, cleaning it up, turnover-wise. It was a little bit shaky in Game 4. We'll get into that in a second. But still a huge win in Game 4, as well as a huge win in Game 3. You can talk all you want about Giannis Antetokounmpo, and we'll talk about him throughout the program. But there's one guy in particular that we really got to talk about. And, of course, that would be Grayson Allen, who hit a career high on Sunday, went bananas on Friday, came out of nowhere off the bench on Friday, and found a rhythm we really haven't seen Grayson Allen find most of the season, if not the entire season. It was really fun to see Grayson Allen play through the relentless boos from both the United Center crowd as well as his teammates on the bench booing him, because everybody says Grayson Allen plays his best when he's the villain. That was the case at Duke, and here we are again as a Milwaukee Buck, Grayson Allen playing his best as a villain. I'm a Wisconsin Badgers fan. I know not every Milwaukee Bucks fan is. Some are. In fact, I would argue a majority of Milwaukee Bucks fans are also Wisconsin Badgers fans. So you feel this, I don't know, moral dilemma of if you do or if you don't want to cheer for Grayson Allen. I'll be honest. Initially, when he signed with the Bucks this fall, I was upset. I went on a tweeting rampage on the cesspool we know as Twitter. And all I could say was, how in the hell could a Wisconsin team sign a Wisconsin villain? We finally got an answer this weekend in Game 3 and Game 4 as to how a Wisconsin team could sign a Wisconsin villain. The examples: Game 3 of the Eastern Conference quarterfinals and Game 4 of the Eastern Conference quarterfinals. Grayson Allen was terrific. And I think that might even be an understatement. He was so damn good, I didn't even realize he was capable of it. I mean, it was unbelievable, and it was really fun too, right? As I mentioned, the Bucks bench getting into it with Grayson Allen, booing him, and you know, letting him know, you suck, Grayson, boo. As he's knocking home threes, he's starting off 4-for-4, 4-of-5, depending on the game, from outside, and giving the Bucks that much-needed push that they needed. With Chris Middleton out, the question we asked last week was, who are you looking for to step up? Some of you said Bobby Portis, and step up he did. Some of you said Drew Holiday, and step up he did. A few of you said Grayson Allen, and holy moly, step up he did. Grayson Allen was asked after the game on Sunday, the game 4, about his teammates booing him from the bench and all the camaraderie that the Milwaukee Bucks have here, obviously within their locker room, but that's really been on display in this opening round series. Grayson Allen on his teammates booing him now in this Chicago Bulls series. Or not. We'll work on getting that audio. Grayson Allen was asked about getting booed by his teammates. Essentially, he just said, yeah, it's fun. It's all in good fun. It's making me play better. And it is. I mean, what we saw on display from Grayson Allen this weekend was like Grayson Allen-esque Duke, almost, right? Like, he's a villain. He's getting booed. He's playing out of his mind. I mean, he's playing out of his gourd. Now we've got the audio. We'll hear Grayson Allen on getting booed by his teammates.
Bothered at all by how much your teammates enjoy booing you?
No, they have so much fun doing it. I think it's funny. I think it's honestly hilarious. They kind of have turned it into a fun thing. It makes hearing it out there during the game a lot easier, too, because they think it's so funny.
Yeah, and Drew Holiday went on to be asked about that as well. And he essentially said, look, we're going to continue to do it. There was jokes thrown around. Maybe Fiserv Forum should do it too. Well, many Badgers fans might want to do that. No, we're not going to do that. So here's Drew Holiday on the bench and the team booing Grayson Allen.
I think it's more fun booing Grayson. Obviously, I think it started off just the fans booing him, but he'd be hooping when we boo him. So maybe it means something to him, just some form of support. So,
yeah, some form of support. That's really good support. I love when people tell me that I suck. It always works to perfection, doesn't it? It just works really, really well when people boo at me. It always motivates me. But, hey, it works for Grayson Allen, and what they always say is if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So Grayson Allen was the star of the show and the big headline from the weekend as the Milwaukee Bucks get two big wins over the Chicago Bulls to really pull away in this series. Now 3-1 and one game away, just 48 minutes away from moving on to the second round of the NBA playoffs. Grayson Allen in game 4 on Sunday, 28 points, 10 of 12 shooting, 6 of 7 from outside. Grayson Allen in game 3 on Friday, just behind that, 25 points, 8 of 12 shooting, 5 of 7 from outside after scoring, 27 on Sunday, 22 on Friday. Moving up from 3 points in game 2, and 0 points in game 1. So he increases by 19 points from game 2 to game 3 and adds 5 more from game 3 to game 4. It's just this out of nowhere next man up mentality that I think a lot of us wanted and expected and talked about last week here on Bucks at 6 with Grayson Allen or anybody coming off the bench. Who's going to be that next man up with Chris Middleton out? Well, Grayson Allen has taken the baton here in games 3 and game 4. And made it his own. He's taken this Bucks team to another level that we have not seen yet this postseason in these previous two games. Can he keep it up? I don't know. I hope so. I certainly think with the way he's shooting, you'd hope he's able to keep it up. But I don't know how sustainable it is for a guy that averaged about 11 points a game in the regular season, scoring double that. And then some in game 4. I don't know how sustainable it is, but I do like seeing the villain, the enemy, Grayson Allen, really coming into his own on this Bucks squad, which he wasn't able to do all year. He got some starts during the regular season. He got some awesome reps, a lot of minutes. He was able to build the chemistry, but it really didn't come to full fruition until games three and game four. So his growth has been was the highlight of the weekend. Really fun stuff. But is it sustainable? That is the question we will continue to look for. We're going to talk a little Celtics later because, as I said at the top, I'm not afraid to look ahead. The Celtics are already there. They clean sweep the Brooklyn Nets, which, whoa, nobody saw that coming. I didn't, at least. I don't think anybody saw that coming. So the Celtics are awaiting the winner of the Bucks and the Bulls. The Bucks can end the series tomorrow night at Fiserv Forum in Game 5, as the Chicago Bulls will likely be without both Alex Caruso and Zach LaVine. Yeah, I tend to like their chances if that is the case. Game 5 tomorrow, and a guy that will be on the call on the Milwaukee Bucks Radio Network, which you can hear on 620 WTMJ in Milwaukee and right here in Madison, 100.5 ESPN. Ben Brust will join us next to discuss Grayson Allen's emergence, the 3-1 lead for the Milwaukee Bucks, and what the matchup looks like, at least a little bit, against the Boston Celtics, depending on the availability of Chris Middleton. Ben Brust joins us next. It's Bucks at 6:11 across ESPN Wisconsin. It's Bucks at 6 on ESPN Wisconsin, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison. Alex Stroh with you until 7 o'clock as we talk. The Bucks are so back. What a weekend. I'm still riding that wave, still riding that high. Grayson Allen, the most hated NBA player this season, with 32% of reactions to social media posts about him being negative. What a stat that is. To talk some more Grayson Allen, we go to the phone line now. The First Midwest Bank talking text line. First Midwest Bank, a division of Old National Bank, to chat with the color analyst on the Milwaukee Bucks Radio Network. You also hear him on these very stations before this program. I've talked to him enough today, but I guess we'll talk to him more. It is the great Ben Brust joining us here on Bucks at 6. Benny, nice little factoid I just mentioned there. Grayson Allen, the most hated NBA player this season. But the way he played in front of that hate this weekend in Chicago was unbelievable. You were on hand. Your perspective of Grayson Allen's emergence this weekend is what?
I mean, it's no different than anything he's faced. If anything, it's probably lighter than what he faced when he was in college. Every single arena he went into, he was booed in college. And so for one fan base to be upset with him, to think that's going to make a difference on his play or how he's affected, I mean, I think the most important thing on all this as well is you hit on it a little bit, of hearing from Drew Holiday and how much fun that the team had booing Grayson. I was sitting courtside and just looking my right, seeing the joy in his teammates, Chris Middleton, who's out standing up, booing Grayson. Like, it was so much fun for the team. Anytime you're a competitor and you're on a team and you have the full support of a team, especially like guys like Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton and Giannis, who are world champions, that would give me confidence no matter where I played, no matter who I was booed by.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. They're having so much fun, and that's so good to see out of a team that likely has a chip on their shoulder, Ben, because they feel a little under the radar for being reigning champs, but they are having a blast. And that camaraderie is really important in terms of success. So it's been fun to watch that unroll. But, Ben, we talked a little bit off the air today, earlier today, about Drew Holiday and the way he stepped up in games 3 and 4, both offensively, obviously, but also defensively, really shutting down DeMar DeRozan. You mentioned to me you were just terribly impressed by a guy that we know how good of a defender he is. He's the second best guard defensively in the NBA. But the way he was able to shut down DeRozan after what he did in game 2 really impressed you. Why was that?
Well, I mean, just from the standpoint of DeRozan only shot 9 field goal attempts in game 3. And, like, DeRozan had not shot single-digit field goals all season long. And then if I think the next closest was 11 in like 25 minutes in a game where it wasn't close. DeRozan's been a high-volume guy, and to shut down a high-volume guy where he got so frustrated that he couldn't even get a shot off is, a testament to what Drew Holiday is able to do on the perimeter. He's able to go under the screen quick if DeRozan's not within his range, which is usually where the ball screen starts. And then when the rescreen happens on the ball screen, he'll go under and meet him at the point of attack, and he's physical, and he's got an athletic ability where he can rise and not foul, but also deter shots. I mean, you also have to give credit to, I believe, what was a little bit of a schematic change as well. They were just up in DeRozan. I mean, the bigs, whether it be Lopez, Portis, Giannis, there was a huge lineup that they've had out there since Chris Middleton has gone out. And I think that big lineup, whether they've gone small or big, has really just thrown different looks and different angles at DeRozan. I mean, you enter in Javon Carter, he chases around Zach LaVine. It just became like, look, they woke the beast at game two, and I don't think the Bucks really wanted to do the whole, all right, you know, tap the right arm, let's bring in the reliever, because I thought Wes did a pretty good job. I mean, DeRozan's just a really good shot maker. I think they wanted to put Wes on DeRozan as long as possible, because it's a marathon, these NBA playoffs, and it's going to be a grind if they do close out on Wednesday against the Boston Celtics next series, because that's a really, really physical team that's going to wear you down in seven games. And despite not having Chris, likely a good chunk of that, if not the whole thing, the Bucks are going to be competitive. They have Giannis Antetokounmpo. They have Drew Holiday. Bobby Portis stepped up. Brooke Lopez has been really, really, really good. I'd say the last 10 games since he started to get his feet underneath him post back injury. I mean, I'm confident in this team without Chris Middleton. Will it be hard to get it done? Absolutely. But you see the emergence of Grayson Allen, and we were talking Grayson Allen. How about three steals in the first quarter of game four? How about blocking shots in both of those games on the defensive end? In game two at home, I watched him help on the roller, which was Vucevic, and get back to Caruso or Kobe White and block a three after coming from help side. So the whole team is locked in from a defensive standpoint, and this is subtle. But I saw a Bucks social media clip where Drew Holiday won Teammate of the Year in the NBA for the second straight year. They closed the huddle with defense on three. Not team, not Bucks, defense. And that, to me, is what's been the key for the Bucks. Their defense has led to better shots offensively because they've been forcing tougher shots. They forced the Bulls to shoot over 30 threes in game three, which led to opportunities out in transition. They want to play fast. Like, I just think the Bucks have a great way about them right now, and I know it's the Bulls, but you need to have a great way about you regardless of your scenario of who's healthy, who's not, because it's the playoffs. And whether Chris is there or not, I'm happy to see that they're starting to click and having fun doing against the Bulls, because the next series, God willing, that they close out against the Bulls, which Zach LaVine health and safety protocols. I just hope he didn't give that to anybody on the Bulls, so it somehow comes back to Bucks. That's the scariest thing for me, is just staying out of health and safety protocols, keeping this good momentum rolling into the next series.
Yeah, no, that's a very fair point. Ben Brust, radio analyst on the Milwaukee Bucks Radio Network, as well as co-host of Scalzo and Brust on ESPN Wisconsin with us here on Bucks at 6. Alex Strofe hanging out with you. And Ben, you brought up Drew Holiday today, named the winner of the NBA's Twyman Stokes Teammate of the Year Award. And in that clip, a part you didn't mention was Drew's reaction to receiving the award. He looked at his teammates and said, "I hate you all," after they yelled, "Speech, speech, speech." He goes, "I hate you all." And to that point, right, that's the camaraderie I was talking about that just makes me happy as a Bucks fan, Ben, because you realize these guys are meshing, the chemistry's so high, and I feel like at least the last two games they're peaking at the right time, which in any sport is so important. So the camaraderie is so darn important, and that was really funny to see Drew Holiday go, "I hate you all."
I mean, it's relatable. I can't imagine a lot of people in the audience have ever been, when they have been yelled at, "Speech, speech, speech." Like, nobody ever wants to give, like, a speech, like, on command. Drew's not the most, like, outspoken guy, like, verbally. Like, he kind of keeps to himself, like, really smart guy, active in the community, but isn't, like, you know. I mean this in the best way possible. Bobby's like a microphone guy. Bobby wants to, like, be a part of attention and hype, and like, Drew just kind of goes about his business. And so I found that really funny. He's like, I hate you guys, because obviously he loves them, but he's like, I don't want to give a speech. And I've been there where, like, people are like, speech, speech, speech. And I'm like, no, I don't want to give a speech. I hate you guys. So, yeah.
I was just about to ask, Benny, if you ever had to give a speech impromptu style like Drew did, where he said, I hate you guys. You alluded to it, but you never have actually executed giving said speech.
I probably said the exact same thing as Drew. I probably was just like, I hate you guys. I'm not doing this.
Fair enough. Benny, you mentioned Bobby Portis. I got to bring something up because I heard you and Dave Kane on the call on Sunday, Game 4, with the nickname Bobby Bifocals. Well, Bobby Portis has now put out T-shirts that say Bobby Bifocals on them. So the nickname has caught on. Did you come up with that? Are you going to be receiving some royalty on these T-shirts?
No. Marcus Johnson, Valley Sports Wisconsin analyst, has been trying to make sure that everyone knows the nickname started with Marcus, and he's good with that stuff, so I will not take credit for that. I was more worried about Bobby getting the rosin, the powder, in front of me courtside on my suit that I just got from the dry cleaner. Now, I told Bobby, you know, as long as you keep playing well, you can throw as much powder on me as you want.
So you're seating in the United Center, because you were on the road, obviously, this weekend. So you were right in front of the powder, which players, you know, threw out pregame. And you said you kind of got bombarded in Game 4. Is that the case?
Yes, because Game 3, I was a little bit off to the side. Game 4, I was right in front of it. And they don't, let me tell you, I thought it was a pregame thing. You know, everyone remembers, like, LeBron throwing into the air. Out of every timeout, they throw the rosin on a dinosaur. A T-Rex, like a toy T-Rex. And I want to find out more info of why the toy T-Rex. So I'm going to do some due diligence on that. But, like, they pour some rosin on a dinosaur, then they put it on their hands. Brooke Lopez, very, very gentle with the dinosaur. Just very, very gentle. A gentle giant, one would say. And then Bobby just douses the dinosaur with rosin, then puts it on his hands. It was a bizarre scene. I was kind of like, what the heck is going on with this dinosaur? But yeah, I will follow up with more answers on the rosin throwing on the dinosaur, but it's working.
I will be asking, and I may buy you, in that case, a toy dinosaur, depending on how this playoff run winds up. Ben Brust of the Milwaukee Bucks Radio Network and Scal Zone Brust with us for a couple more minutes here on Bucks at 6. I want to ask about the starting lineup, because I know we talked about it last week when Chris went down, Ben. You know, who would enter the starting lineup? Is it Pat Connaughton? Maybe is it Grayson? But they went big. Two centers in Bobby and Brooke Lopez, as they already obviously had in the starting lineup, along with Giannis, and then the two guards in Drew and Wesley Matthews. So the starting lineup was different. But then we saw Mike Budenholzer in Game 3 go to what you alluded to previously with that four-forward or a four-guard set. I don't think he's getting enough credit, that's Mike Budenholzer, for the creative lineups he's throwing out on the floor. Do you agree?
Oh, I mean, look, I had such a fun time being courtside just to see how he was interacting with the guys from a substitution standpoint. One thing you'll notice is Javon Carter hangs out around the scorer's table more than anyone in the NBA, because Wes and Drew are kind of coming out at different times, and they want to make sure that Javon is checking one of the better defenders when Drew or Wes are out. And that's something that George Hill would do, but George Hill obviously out right now, and that is still to be determined if he's going to come back and when. So Javon was, like, always lingering around when it was going to be close to a media timeout. So that way he could grab somebody quick, and then they'd go to break, and it'd be extended timeout for one of the guards to get rest. So you see, you know, guard lineups. And one of the best things I think that's happened in the series is going big, because here's what it's presented. Patrick Williams, the Bulls forward, is guarding Giannis. Vucevic, the Bulls center, is guarding Brooke Lopez. And that means Bobby Portis has been guarded by DeRozan or Zach LaVine. Bobby had a stretch where he scored, I think, 8 points in a row. As well as a stretch where he had 7 points, where he faced up DeRozan, He then decided, once he saw DeRozan, he's going to back him down, got to his left shoulder, right-hand jump hook, then faced up DeRozan. DeRozan's ready for Bobby to back him down, rise and fire, hits it. And then next possession, Derrick Jones Jr., the thinnest guy in the NBA, is on him, thinks Bobby Portis is going to go right at him, jab, step, jumper. So, again, the big lineup has created mismatches for the Bucks to take advantage of on the offensive end. Now let's go to the defensive side. You have Bobby on Patrick Williams, Brooke on Vucevic, and Giannis on Caruso, or the other, say, wing, Javonte Green, or whoever it is.
Yeah.
That's where I think the Bucks had a big advantage of having Giannis sort of play rover. He blocked a couple shots. He was in help side when DeRozan would come off ball screen. So the big lineup has presented a lot of challenges for the Bulls on the offensive and defensive end of the floor. And I've thoroughly enjoyed watching Coach Budenholzer adjust from Game 1 and Game 2.
Yeah, we've talked about the depth of the Milwaukee Bucks all season long, and it was really on display in those last few games. Last one for you, Benny. We talked a bit earlier. The NBA playoffs always brings really fun factoids, right? As Mike Budenholzer is the Bucks head coach, every time the winner of Game 3 has won the series, ever since he's taken over the Bucks, it's just how it's worked out under Mike Budenholzer. You got any fun factoids you want to throw at me that you've got in that brain of yours?
Factoid? I'm not a factoid guy. I'm an analyst. I'm not a stats nerd like Justin Garcia.
You threw something at me earlier. I just can't remember what it was. I was trying to set you up. I'm trying to do radio
during
here,
Ben. I used it already. That's why I'm caught. So I just took a shot at Justin. I said DeRozan had shot single digits field goal attempts once the entire season, and it was Game 3 against the Bucks when Drew Holiday guarded him. So I used up my factoid, and I leave the factoids to the nerds of Alex Strope and Justin Garcia, the pre-half and post-game hosts of the Bucks Radio Network.
Well, I don't think I'm as big of a nerd as Justin Garcia, but I will take that as a compliment because I have a lot of respect for Justin Garcia. I also have a lot of respect for you, Ben. Appreciate the time as always, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Or I guess Strofe. You're the host of the alone. Thanks, Strofe.
You're welcome, Ben. That's Ben Brust, radio analyst with the Milwaukee Bucks Radio Network. You can also hear him 4 to 6 p.m. weekdays on these very stations alongside Greg Scalzo on Scalzo and Brust. 800-990-3776. 800-990-3776. That is the First Midwest Bank talk and text line. How you feeling after this weekend? Because I keep saying I am riding that wave hard. The Bucks are so back. They looked terrific in games 3 and 4 and looked like they really should. I mean, I would be shocked if they don't close out the series tomorrow in game 5 at Fiserv Forum. Now 10-point favorites. They were about 2.5, 1.5, 3-point favorites in games 3 and 4. Well, Vegas has been like, okay, maybe we were wrong on that one, and they pushed the Bucks back to 10-point favorites, and that was prior to Zach LaVine getting put in protocol, so it's probably even larger now. We will go around the NBA, talk a little bit. It's up to 12 points now, is what Hunter Vaughn, who's running the show in the Park Bank ESPN Madison studios, just signaled at me. Up to 12 points now for the Bucks tomorrow in Game 5. We'll go around the NBA next here on Bucks at 6 across ESPN Wisconsin.
Back to Talking Bucks after this on ESPN Wisconsin.
Bucks at 6, roll it on your Tuesday here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison. I'm Alex Strofe, hanging out with you until 7 o'clock, talking Bucks basketball. Man, did they look good this weekend. I mean, I keep saying I'm riding that wave because I don't think that wave's going to stop given the situation tomorrow for the Chicago Bulls, looking like they may be without both Zach LaVine and Alex Caruso. Hope both those guys are okay, but it helps the Bucks' chances, and I'm okay with that flat out as the Bucks. Well, Ben Brust mentioned it in the last segment as we caught up with him of the Bucks Radio Network and Scalzo and Brust. You know, the Celtics are a very good basketball team, and that is who the Bucks will play next round, assuming they can close out this series tomorrow in Game 5 against the Chicago Bulls. Without Chris Middleton, it gets a little dicey. I'm still liking the Bucks' chances. I still really do. But it is much tougher than the Chicago Bulls, who haven't really been able to beat a good team in basketball all year long. So we'll get more into that throughout the week here on Bucks at 6. But it's time now to go around the NBA. Chris Larson running the show at the Gruber Law Offices. One Call, That's All Studios at Radio City in Milwaukee. Chris always caters some of the top headlines in the NBA, throws them at me, and we toss them back and forth, react a little bit as we talk right over some beautiful NBA Jam music. Boom shakalaka, Chris.
He's on fire. Let's start off with those Boston Celtics, too, by the way. Jason Tatum leads the Celtics to a series sweep of the Brooklyn Nets yesterday. The size of the Celtics is, I think, just too much for the Nets. And they do going to play the Bucks coming up, most likely. And I don't expect the Celtics to play as well as they have been, though, against the Bucks, or against teams that they played when they played the Bucks. They've been on fire recently. Speaking of on fire, NBA Jam, they've been on fire. I just don't think they're going to play up to par of what they've been playing up to, the level that they've been playing at. I do like the Bucks going forward, even without Chris Middleton. But just the size of the Celtics, just too much for the Nets to overcome. The Nets really need some of those 6'7" type strong defender guys. I think they're a couple guys away in that department from being contenders for the championship. So,
yeah, I think that's good analysis, Chris. They're not going to have as easy as a time as they did against Brooklyn, which still, even through a 4-game sweep, Chris, sounds weird to say that Brooklyn is not as good as another team, because the expectation coming into the year was Brooklyn was the championship favorite. Or if they weren't, they were top two, top three at worst.
Yeah, I mean, boomer bust championship.
Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving. Right. I mean, the lineup of guys they had is one of the best in the league, and they just could not put it together here in the NBA playoffs. So Boston skids by them 4-0. But I agree, Boston isn't as deep as Milwaukee, and Milwaukee's depth has been on full display the last two games. But defensively, they may be the best team in the league when it comes to their top five. So it's going to be a really gritty, hard-nosed series when Milwaukee and Boston match up, and we'll talk plenty about that more this week after, we assume, the Bucks close up shop. But Jason Tatum, Chris, he is certainly making a case as one of the best stars in the NBA right now. And I think we've expected him to reach that level for a couple years now. But it's really, really evident after four games in this year's playoffs that guy can ball flat out. I mean, he definitely is making a really good case as one of the best players, both in the NBA and obviously remaining in the NBA playoffs. Terrific series for him against Brooklyn. I imagine it will continue as it leads into the Milwaukee series, we assume. But I don't know that he'll be able to have as much success as he did in the Brooklyn series. But terrific showing by him, by all means.
Definitely. Moving on in the Eastern Conference, the lifeless Sixers stumble through the embarrassing Game 5 loss to the Raptors. A once 3-0 series lead for Philly is almost going to be tied up tomorrow night if the Raptors can pull off another win. No NBA team has ever come back from a 3-0 deficit to win a series. Could it be the first time in history we see that? Who knows? But James Harden not playing up to par, not playing up to snuff. The Sixers going all in to try and win a championship this year, and not looking so good right now. You feel good up 3-0. Obviously, you feel great up 3-0. 3-1, you still feel good, but 3-2, you start getting that thing in the back of your head saying, are we losing this thing? Are we falling apart here? So a big, big, big game tomorrow night between the Raptors and Sixers.
Every player besides one for the Philadelphia 76ers last night was a minus and plus minus, and obviously losing by 15 points, that's going to happen. But you know, I'm not a big stats guy by all means, but plus minus it's a pretty fair stat. All but one starter was double digits minus. Joel Embiid being the one, he was minus 4 in the plus minus category. So interesting thing on that box score, but. Philly, I called them frauds last week, so I'll toot my own horn, which I have no problem doing here. I don't think they're very good. And Toronto is fine. They're a decent team. They're a playoff team. But, again, they're not very good either. So this is a series where I think you use the word stumble, Chris. I think we're going to stumble through the finish line in the series. I still think Philly wins and moves on. But they're going to lose to the Heat at this point. So, yeah, I don't know. I can't say a lot of good things about Philly. The way they put the team together kind of last minute, and you said they went all in, which, acquiring James Harden was kind of that move. Joel Embiid's a superstar, but we need more from him, right? Like, he had a double-double yesterday, but it was a pretty low-key double-double, flew under the radar. He wasn't as efficient and effective offensively as we've seen, you know, throughout the regular season from Joel Embiid, obviously an MVP finalist. So, I don't know. I don't know what to make of Philly. And we're 5 games through the series now. I really don't know what to make of Philly now. And I didn't when they were up 3-0. They're a really confusing team. I don't feel the same way about them as I do Boston, who I think is, in the standings say that, but I think Boston is a much better team than Philly for the two teams in the Eastern Conference that went up 3-0 in a series. So I don't know what to make of them, Chris. I still don't.
And one more from the Western Conference. Now, Luka Doncic and the Mavericks dominate the Jazz in Game 5 last night to take a 3-2 series lead. They did it with defense, and without Luka, 2 of the 3 games they played without him, their defense has really stepped up. They held Utah only 36 points in the first half yesterday, and Luka Doncic went up for 19 points in the third quarter. So the Mavericks with a 3-2 series lead, and that one over the Jazz. The Dallas looking for their first series win since 2011.
Utah was horrible last night. They scored 20 points in one quarter, and that was the fourth quarter where they scored 22 points. That was the most points they scored in a quarter. I mean, they were horrible. Utah's a dumpster fire. They better, I think they got to restart, right? Like, Donovan Mitchell then gets injured at the end of the game, Chris, when he shouldn't have even been in it. It was a 30-point game with like 4 minutes left, and he hobbles off. It was just messy. They're a dumpster fire right now. I love Luka Doncic. I think he is, again, another just absolute one of my favorite players in the NBA to watch right now. He is he's terrific. And, you know, it was fun to see him, and it's been fun to see him the last few games, be back healthy and be on full display and do what he does. And he leads the way last night with 33 points. And, again, I might call that a quiet 33 points for Luka Doncic, who by far was the leading scorer in that game. So I like Dallas. Want to see them get the win because I don't think they're championship contenders by any means. But Utah, I can't stand to watch them play another series. And, Chris, I assume you're with me on Utah. I really don't like watching them play basketball right now.
No, I'm in total agreement with you, yes. If we wouldn't have to play them, or if you don't have to watch them anymore in the playoffs this year, I'd be very, very happy with that. So,
yeah, I hope we only get one more game. That would make me very happy.
And looking at the games tonight, we got the Heat looking to close out the Hawks in Miami. No Jimmy Butler in that one, as he's been ruled out for the game. And then also pivotal game fives tonight in both the T-Wolves Grizzlies series and the Pelicans Suns series. That Pel Suns game you can listen to across ESPN Wisconsin right here tonight as well. So two crucial game fives in that one, with both those series knotted up at 2 games apiece.
Yeah, New Orleans-Phoenix coverage starts across ESPN Wisconsin at 8:30 p.m., tip at 9 o'clock. Both under games are underway. Second quarter, Atlanta on top of the Miami Heat, 26-23, with about 10 minutes to play in the second quarter. And Memphis up early on Minnesota, 15-11, with about 7 minutes to play in the first quarter. So that one in the early goings. And then New Orleans-Phoenix, our nightcap tonight. That's my late-night basketball, Chris. I always talk about my crazy bedtimes. I love those West Coast games. And as we get further along in the playoffs, unfortunately, we start to lose those. So I'm going to enjoy them while I got them. And that series has been fun, too. We talked about it a plenty last week. We'll talk about it more this week as it rolls on. But some crucial game fives indeed going on across the NBA tonight. That is Around the NBA here on Bucks at 6. Thanks to Chris Larson for his help in that one. We'll wrap up the show next. I think I want to dive into this Grayson Allen, Alex Caruso beef a little bit, as well as give some thoughts on Game 5 tomorrow. We'll do all that next. It is Bucks at 6:47 across ESPN Wisconsin.
Back with more from the hardwood next on ESPN Wisconsin.
Because last time we were on the air, we were getting over Game 2 and talking about the Chris Middleton injury and talking about, you know, are the Bucks' chances in this series gone? And a lot of negativity and pessimism, which, if you know me, if you've heard me on the radio before, I'm not a very pessimistic guy. I'd like to think of myself as an upbeat guy, happy guy. And when the Bucks are winning, and when they're thrashing teams the way they did over the weekend, well, it's easy to be upbeat. Hell of a lot easier to be upbeat than it is when your number two guy in Chris Middleton goes down. So I want to wrap up Bucks at 6 tonight with a few things. First, I want to talk more Grayson Allen. But I want to talk about a beef that has surfaced. So earlier this season, Bucks Bulls, we know of what happened. Grayson Allen, I'm going to call a spade, little bit of a dirty play, leading to a fractured wrist for Alex Caruso of the Chicago Bulls. Made him miss some time. So that obviously is why the Chicago Bulls and the United Center were so vehemently against Grayson Allen this weekend, showering him with boos. And rightfully so, again, I think. Now, the takeaway from that little interaction several months ago has been resurfaced. Alex Caruso was on J.J. Redick's podcast, Old Man in the Three, and he kind of mentioned in passing that, you know, Grayson Allen never reached out to him after the wrist injury, you know, didn't try to make amends. It was just kind of in passing. It wasn't a big topic. It wasn't a big comment on the podcast. It's just something he kind of dropped, that Grayson Allen never reached out. Well, of course, you know, this is a popular podcast. Lots of people listen to it. Well, including Grayson Allen, who talked about that after the Game 4 win on Sunday and, well, contradicted what Alex Caruso said on said podcast. Here's Grayson Allen on Sunday.
No, so I understand there was a I saw on JJ's podcast, he said I didn't reach out, which I did try. I tried two different ways, and then when I saw that, I got another number from somebody and tried to reach out again. But so at that point, like, it's not about me expecting a reply. It's just about me wanting to let him know. It's more of a something between me and him. So I don't expect a reply. I don't think he would even want to. But
message on his phone or something.
Tried. Yeah.
Grayson Allen there talking about reaching out to Alex Caruso after the wrist injury a couple months back, caused by a play Grayson Allen had. And, you know, if you've been with us the whole hour here on Bucks and Six, you heard me at the top of the show kind of talk about, as a Wisconsin fan, I've been kind of wavy. I've been, you know, resistant to really cheer for a guy like Grayson Allen. After hearing that clip, I'm all in on Grayson Allen. I'm a Grayson Allen fan because it shows me, you know, he actually does give a damn, right? You know, he didn't want it to be a dirty play. He doesn't want people missing time because of an action he had on the court. He reached out to him. Cue the LeBron James clip. Not once, not two, well, two times, nonetheless. So there's Grayson Allen on that. I want to get to one more audio clip here, as we have mentioned in passing a bit. Zach LaVine of the Chicago Bulls has entered the league's health and safety protocols for COVID-19, announced today, and will likely miss. He can retest tomorrow, and if he's negative, he'll be able to play. So he will likely miss tomorrow's Game 5 in Milwaukee. Pat Connaughton met with the media today and just kind of talked about the idea of Zach LaVine not playing in a crucial for the Bulls Game number 5.
You know, we're trying to go out there. We're trying to play the best basketball that the Milwaukee Bucks can play. Obviously, we got to know our personnel. We got to know who's subbing in. If Zach's unable to, you know, go, what their tendencies are, what their strengths and weaknesses are, how they're going to play as a team. So the mentality can't change whether Zach plays or doesn't.
The mentality can't change whether Zach plays or doesn't play. I like that attitude from Pat Connaughton. I like the attitude from the Milwaukee Bucks, who are rolling right now. Absolutely rolling. Great Game 3 on Friday. Great Game 4 on Sunday. And when they're peaking at this time, they get the opportunity to return home to a ruckus Fiserv Forum tomorrow for a big Game number 5. They know who awaits the winner of the series. It's the Boston Celtics. But the Milwaukee Bucks still need to get the job done. They're 48 minutes away. Can they put together a really solid 48 minutes of basketball again tomorrow? I think they can. And I think they'll prove that they still are one of the best teams in the association right now. This has been Bucks at 6. A big thanks to Hunter Vaughn and Chris Larson running the show here on ESPN Wisconsin. Also thanks to my buddy Ben Brust, who joined us a bit earlier in the program, giving perspective on all things Milwaukee Bucks. We are off tomorrow due to the Milwaukee Bucks game, of course. We'll be back Thursday to react to Game 5 and talk about what is coming up. That'll do it for Bucks at 6. I'm Alex Strope. Have a great rest of your night. We'll see you on Thursday.